We may call it different things. A cookout, a barbecue, throwing some meat on the grill. But we're all doing the same thing. We're cooking meat, and we're spending time with our favorite people. In the summertime, I always look forward to a season full of family barbecues. My family plays Pekino, we make refreshing summer drinks, and most importantly, we light up the grill. So in honor of summertime and grilling season, today we're going to talk all things barbecue. From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Taylor Coward, here with Jennifer Shea Love Long and Cheryl Jackson, who's calling in from Memphis. And today we're talking about barbecue, grilling tips, traditions, and who's behind that grill. Later, we hear from classically trained chef, barbecue goat, and pit master Dominique Leach. She's the owner of Lexington Betty Smokehouse, located on the south side of Chicago. All that and more coming up.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
Ladies,
yes,
I have a very important question.
What's up?
What do you call a summer function with meat on the grill?
A hoedown.
Okay. Jennifer calls it a hoedown. Cheryl.
Jennifer, where are you from again?
I'm from New Mexico. You know, we got kind of that Western flavor to it.
Okay,
you know?
Cool.
We call it a barbecue, you know?
Yeah.
What you doing today? So
me too. I also call it a barbecue, and I also love we putting some on the grill. We're throwing some meat on the grill.
I like it.
Everybody knows what that means. Okay, so at this hoedown cookout barbecue,
it's really a cookout.
Cookout barbecue, yeah, hoedown,
yeah.
Throwdown.
Yep.
What are the essentials for you?
Ooh, the essentials are, well, we do a lot of dancing.
Hmm.
So music is essential.
Okay.
It's like the typical, we've got corn on the cob, all different types of meats, fish.
Oh.
Veggie burgers.
What kind of fish?
Like salmon.
Hmm.
And
on like a
mainly salmon.
Cedar plank.
Yes. Actually, yeah.
Okay. So we got music.
Yep.
Fish. Yep. Corn.
Corn. Veggies.
Adult
salad.
Right.
Adult libations.
Cheryl.
Yes, adult libations.
What are your essentials, Cheryl?
People. You know, you're laughing, you're trash talking. It's usually family and close friends. But yes, essentials, ribs, okay? Pork and beef ribs, links.
What kind of link?
You know, there's chicken.
Like
hot
wait,
links.
Hold on.
Yeah, let's talk about the link.
Hold on.
Hot links.
Yeah, hot link.
Okay.
You don't like hot links?
No. Well, so not that I don't like them.
But you like.
But I don't eat meat.
That'll do it.
So, tell me about the hot links, though. Like,
look,
I'm curious.
If you don't eat meat, you're really not going to like this. bologna. We throw bologna.
Oh, do you really?
Well,
yeah, the really thick kind.
Oh, wow.
And so it's really thick bologna. And it's so apropos that I am calling in from Memphis. Okay.
It is.
The barbecue capital of the world. and my mother's house is about two blocks from Central Barbecue, one of our well-known barbecue place. just a few blocks from Rendezvous that some people love. But yeah, barbecue bologna sandwiches. You know, you just grill that thick barbecue, put the slap the sauce on it, put coleslaw on that between two buns. It is delicious.
Wow.
It's all kinds of wrong, okay? In terms of being PC, it's processed meat, but oh my God, it is so good. So yes.
So where do you get, I want to know, where do you get the bologna? Is it bologna or bologna?
Bologna.
Where do you get bologna? The bologna? Do you get it from a butcher or is it just like packaged?
Look, at the store. The thick bologna, you get it from a butcher. You get it from a meat store. Usually, you know, where our people are. So, okay. Yes, I was at a fish store deep in the community. And it's a whole experience just going in and buying the meat from a Black-owned butcher shop or meat shop. It's hilarious. But yeah, you got to go. You got to know where to go to get that thick bologna. It's not every place. You're not going to walk up in Whole Foods and find thick bologna.
Some bologna.
I'm sorry. I hate to break up the bologna chat. Okay, I've heard you mention adult libations, which mm-hmm. I feel like is a cornerstone of a good cookout barbecue hoedown. Mm-hmm. So what are your required libations that you have?
We normally have like some whiskey or bourbon, something brown.
Okay.
Well, it's usually hot down south. So, you know, it's going to be a margarita. It's going to be something cold.
I agree. I mean, my family, we do a sangria. You can kind of throw anything in a sangria. And then you have the fun after surprise of the fruit that is now soaked in all the alcohol. So that's a very fun way to pass the time.
So who makes the sangria?
We switch off. My mom typically makes it.
Okay.
So she'll do like oranges, green apples, red apples, a lot of brandy, a red wine. She adds brown sugar. It's very tasty.
Yum.
Oh, I want that some of that.
Good. I'll make some. A When Magic Happens sangria.
Okay. Bring it.
There you go.
Bring it.
There you go.
So we have music at this party. We have bologna, we have sangria and whiskey and margaritas. Now, do your families play games at these parties?
We do play games.
Okay, what do you play?
We play spades.
Okay,
that's like, that's like the game that we play. Okay. And we play, what's that, cornhole. We have a cornhole game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And actually, most of the time we have it at my cousin's house, who is in Aiken, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And she has all this space. And so it's just lots of tables, people set up in different places, play spades,
cool.
Do cornhole. You know, the kids are running around playing in the little blow-up pools with the music.
Cornhole.
Nice.
Yeah, cornhole. You know, it's like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Is it like a wood board with holes
yeah.
and you throw?
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Do you use corn?
No, it's like...
I'm kidding.
That's
I'm kidding.
Why we like the corn on the cob.
I'm kidding. Cheryl?
Yes.
Is there a game that you gravitate toward at these functions?
Not at all.
Oh, really?
Right. She said, nope,
not at all.
Nope.
Not at all. Well, y'all already know I was raised Church of God in Christ, so I don't know nothing about spades, dominoes. It's not that. We just are laughing, telling stories. That's our whole thing. I mean, you know, it's hard to even sneak in any alcohol, usually, because it's sans alcohol.
Sneak? Really? You sneak it in?
Yeah, my family doesn't drink. Like mine. They do not.
Wow.
I'm the only heathen in the bunch.
Okay, that's interesting. So if you have that margarita, is it just for you? Like, is this in a personal?
So I've only gotten grown, you know, bold enough to introduce alcohol, and I mostly don't do it. But if it's, you know, a mix of family and friends, if it's just friends, I mean, I got a lot of preachers in my family. I might, you know, bring in something like wine or, you know, some champagne or something, keeping it light.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother just the other day, she told me, she's like, you're going out. I hope you don't have any liquor. You know, do something light, Cheryl. Just maybe have a glass of wine or champagne. What are you going to have?
Have a LaCroix.
Yeah, right. What are you going to have? Okay. 58. And she wants to tell me what to drink. Okay. But that's my mom. But I'm curious, Taylor, mm-hmm. you've been talking about this Pocino. I've never even heard of that. What's that about? What's that game?
Okay. You know,
is that how, like a craze, a trend or
no,
something?
You know, when some families put money under like the jail or like the pass go in Monopoly?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't uh-huh. know how many of my family's Pocino rules are actually in the rule book. So I'll just explain how we play.
Okay.
So you have a board in front of you with all face cards on them. So like Jack of Heart, Queen of Spades, all that. Mm-hmm. And then someone is holding a deck of cards and they call out a card. And if that card is on your board, you put down a chip. It looks like a little checkers chip. Basically, you win Pocino if you get, I think it's like 5 or 6 chips in a row.
Okay.
And so they can go diagonal, straight down, right across.
And is it like bingo, kind of?
Yeah, kind of like bingo.
Okay.
And you have to yell, Pocino! And lately, my grandma has been not wearing her glasses and has not been yelling Pocino. And all of my cousins keep helping her. And I'm like, stop helping her. Because we say like, oh, you slept it. So if you slept it, that means you didn't call it and we're moving on and you did not win.
Now, when do you have to call? You have to call it when it's your turn, or you have
right
to call
away.
It? Okay.
As soon as those chips you see are in a row and make Pocino, you have to like just interrupt and call it out.
Okay.
And so we also, this is what I mean. We also play for four corners. So sometimes if you have all the four corners on the board, we'll give you uh-huh. money for that. And so that's what I mean of like, are these official rules or are these my family's rules? But it's very fun. I'll bring it one day.
Bring it.
Yeah, we'll play Pocino. All right. So it sounds like our parties are very different. And I'm wondering if that's because of where we live, where we're from. And so I kind of want to get into maybe some regional differences that we have in barbecue, whether that be the party itself or even the food, like the meat itself. So in New Mexico, what do you think is something that y'all make that me and Cheryl probably don't make at a barbecue?
There is this green chili that, like, in New Mexico, people put it up pretty much on everything, mm-hmm. you know? Mm. And so there's some, like, kind of differences with, like, flavor. Mm-hmm. Green chili and red chili. And, like, people will literally go there for it, pack it up, and ship it off and freeze it, right? Mm. And so,
really?
Yeah, it's just... And there, like, they add it to everything. You know, they put it on pretty much anything you can imagine putting it on. They put it on there.
What's the origins of it? I mean,
well, like, so they're actually chilies. They're actually these chilies that grow in New Mexico, and they cut them up and cook them and prepare them in such a way that it creates this green chili. And it's like it's kind of salsa,
so
has a
like,
consistency of like a salsa.
Ooh.
Okay, mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So now that has me wondering what our standard barbecue plate looks like. Like here, when I order barbecue, I'm expecting a slice of very compacted white bread. I'm expecting French fries. I'm expecting, because I get a tip and link combo, I'm expecting one big hot link, and I'm expecting some rib tips. That's my perfect plate. Maybe two slices of white bread, I'll say. Yeah.
Okay,
because you got to get that white bread. And I'm wondering, is that like, does everyone do that, or is that the Chicago style of a barbecue plate?
It's usually the standard barbecue plate is, you know, the white bread, the barbecue, whatever, whether it's rib tips, links, pork ribs, beef ribs, but baked beans and coleslaw.
Baked beans. We do have baked beans.
Yeah, I like a baked bean. I like a Bush's.
Yeah.
Coleslaw is very divisive, though. Mm. Like, I don't like most coleslaw. I don't like. Like, in Chicago, a lot of food, you're going to get coleslaw on the side for some reason. Like, Harold's Chicken, you get 4 chicken wings, fries, a piece of bread, and randomly you get a piece of coleslaw.
Mm.
I feel like it's divisive, but the type of coleslaw, I feel like, varies. Like, sometimes I see raisins.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I see just, oh, God.
We put that in
she
the potato salad.
So, just kidding.
That's right.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
No. Sometimes I see just, you know, maybe like 2 tablespoons.
Where are you when you see these raisins in the coleslaw? I just need to know.
At the Jewel Osco. Jewel, their coleslaw behind the deli. has raisins in it. And I'm always like, ugh. And I'm like, who's doing this? But maybe it's just like, maybe it's a family thing, because maybe there's a different family in Chicago that's like, I have to have raisins. And so I want to get to the bottom of
maybe
this.
Maybe it's like that tart and sweet. You know, it's got the vinegar and the, you
What's
know.
In your coleslaw?
Well, my dad makes the coleslaw. Okay. And he can throw down on some coleslaw.
What's in it?
I don't even really know. I mean, I know.
I know it's good. You're like, there's mayo in there.
Let me tell you, you know, I'm the worst person to be talking about cooking any kind of food.
You just show up.
I do taste.
Okay.
I taste. I'm the taster.
Yeah, that's a good job.
And I bring the music and then like.
And the vibes.
Kicking off the dancing thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
But I will taste food.
In most places that are known for their barbecue, is it dry or is it wet? Like Rendezvous is dry barbecue.
Cheryl.
What are we talking
are
about?
Are you on Rendezvous payroll?
I'm not even a fan of Rendezvous personally, because I like my barbecue wet. And so I like Cozy Corner barbecue, interstate barbecue. I like it wet. But here's the thing, what really annoys me. When people, throw their cook their meat, they grill their meat, and then they will put the sauce on afterwards and then hand it to you. I like my sauce
cooked on it.
Yes.
Okay. Is the sauce is what makes it wet? Is that what you're saying? And then dry is just the rub.
A dry rub.
It's just the rub.
I like. Yeah. I guess then I like. I think I like a post saucing. Like I want you to put some sauce on there while you're cooking it, and then I want you to just like really go hammer time on the sauce before you serve it to me. Like Lim's Barbecue here in Chicago, Cheryl. Have you had them? Yeah.
I have not.
It soaks through the wax paper. It soaks through the box. It soaks through your car seat on the way home. And I literally would not have it any other way, because when I eat barbecue, I want it under my fingernails. I want to be using the bread as a napkin.
You sop it up with the bread, the white bread.
So
you want it soaking wet.
Right. Are any of us dry rub people?
Want it real wet.
Are you a dry rub person?
Well, I think I'm a wet person.
Cool.
We need to start putting this in context, okay?
Let's delete that. Please, again, I am a teacher.
No. I am. I like it wet.
Okay.
Cheryl, you brought this up.
Watch yourself. Okay,
flavor profiles. I know I just mentioned Lim's Barbecue. But their sauce is like a tangy, I'd be reading the back of the bottle, because they sell the bottles too. So there's like pineapple juice in there. I think there's vinegar in there. So I kind of like a tangy sauce sometimes. Mm-hmm. What are our flavor profiles we prefer in a sauce?
Now, we were just talking about what was the name of the bottle we were just looking at?
Sweet Baby.
Sweet Baby. We were talking about Sweet Baby.
Yeah.
And I like that flavor profile. Like it's kind of,
he has so many.
It's like balance. Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Well, I like the regular.
The original is award winning. It's award winning.
Okay, are you a spokesperson for Sweet Baby?
I would love to be on Sweet Baby Ray's payroll. Magic at WBEZ.org. Ask for Taylor. Love them.
I like savory with a kick.
Ooh.
Savory with a kick. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Savory with a kick.
Like spicy?
Yeah, with a little heat. Not a whole lot of heat on it. Spicy, but with a little heat. I like it. But my mother is when she was really, really cooking, doing a lot of cooking. You know, when you have five kids, all right, you, especially back in the day, you are going to be cooking a lot. And, but my mother was so good with her barbecue. And one day she gave me a plate to take over to our next door neighbor. He was a single man. And so he had some. He came out and he said, "You tell your mama she put her big toe off in that."
Not the big
toe.
I was like, okay, not the foot. Okay,
right. But the big toe.
The big toe.
Okay.
The big toe.
The whole toe.
It's so funny. Okay.
So, but she would do a little, you know, she'd have a, you know, a little sweet, savory, and she'll put a, just a, you know, just a hint of heat on it, a little spice to it. So just fabulous.
You know what? I have this green egg sitting in my garage.
You bought that? Are they those are top of line barbecue devices?
And it's like a whole science to actually making this thing work, heating it, getting
what
it to be.
What is a green egg? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's like this grill, and it looks like it's like shaped like an avocado, and it's basically clay. It's like a clay grill. Oh. But let me tell you, I went and bought this, and it was like the red light special at Kmart, because all the men came over there and was like, oh, you got to get this accessory and do this thing and buy this cookbook. And it's like a thing. It's got its own little culture with it, except for I don't know how to use it.
I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and it's very cute.
No. So I'm just kind of curious. You say you don't cook. You don't really know about barbecuing.
Yeah.
Why did you buy this avocado shaped
Well, there
grill?
Is a story behind that.
I got time.
Okay,
so
well. Well, actually, I bought it as a gift for my ex. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
And, you know, that was the one thing he made sure was in the divorce decree. Was that he wanted the red green egg back.
Really? He's like, run me my grill.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, but yeah, no, I'm curious about it because it's like a whole science. You know, you gotta, it has these little vents that you have to manipulate and open and close.
Yeah.
And you can use coal, or you can use wood. Wood adds a different kind of flavor. So it's like a whole science. So I'd like to learn how to actually do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. And I really like the mechanism of like wood or charcoal or. Okay, Cheryl, how do they do it down south?
Chow. Okay, first of all, people make their own grills down here. They get a big old barrel.
I love it.
It's not that complicated. Yeah, literally. Me, I just ran to Home Depot recently and bought whatever they had there, just, you know, the portable one that you kind of drag around, and I got some coals. And I,
Cheryl, you throw meat on the grill?
Oh, of course. But of course.
Oh,
but
okay.
Of course.
Okay. What is your favorite thing to personally grill for Cheryl?
Probably my favorite thing to grill. I'm a little intimidated trying to, you know, take on ribs. Typically what I'll grill is chicken and steak.
Mm.
So that's what I like. I like to grill. I'm about to take on some barbecue. Get some tips from my mother. Start learning her recipe. I'm gonna take that on.
Okay, I feel like I know somebody that can answer all these questions about eggs, meat prep, all that.
Okay,
awesome.
Coming up, we talk to pitmaster and chef Dominique Leach.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
As y'all know, I love a family barbecue, but I've always wanted to know how to create that same restaurant quality experience at home. That's why I am so excited to talk to the barbecue goat herself, Chef Dominique Leach.
Taking the first bite of good barbecue feels like the warmest hug.
Yeah,
it does. It feels
a pat on the back.
More than that, like it's like endearing, like a kiss on the forehead.
Oh,
yeah.
Chef Dominique is sentimental. So I want to kind of get into when you got into the barbecue world. What was your foray into barbecue? And then second, what is that competitive nature like as a Black woman in the space of pit mastering?
Okay. I actually come from a fine dining background. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I feel like I thrived in it. It just didn't always feel inclusive.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how many kitchens I worked in where I felt like they felt like it wouldn't make a difference if I showed up or not. I knew I was strong, mm-hmm. but it almost seemed like part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let her know she's special.
Wow. You definitely have like a presence about you, and you are the barbecue goat, and you're like, people know I'm the barbecue goat. I'm gonna tell them I'm the barbecue goat. And I just think in any industry, but especially in an industry that a lot of Black women, especially Black queer women, aren't in, mm-hmm. you have to show up boldly. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you're really paving the way for a lot of people. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And that is certainly the intention. You know, I realized that I didn't have, I won't say anyone, but I certainly didn't have like a chef or enough people mm-hmm. to look up to and like using as an example, like, mm-hmm. well, she did it, so I right. can do it, too. There was just not enough of that growing up. So it's important to me to be an example to kids, mm-hmm. Particularly little Black girls.
Yeah. So you've said that you want to be the representation for people, for young women. But I've read about you that you had that kind of at home with your grandmother, mm-hmm. with the namesake of your restaurant. Can yeah. you tell us a little bit about her?
Yeah. So my grandmother, she's still here with us.
Oh, amen.
And she is the life of the party. She is just like so sweet and inviting. And there's no way you're going to go see her without leaving with food or a full belly. And she was certainly the rock, you know, in the family growing up. And our introduction to soul food. I mentioned I come from a single mother household, so my mom cooked out of convenience. Mm-hmm. We were frequent with macaroni, hamburger helper, quick meals. Mm-hmm. And when Granny came to town, we knew we were going to eat well.
So in your house, at family barbecues, what did they look like and who was behind the grill?
So family barbecues in my family were like the highlight of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
We would get together on holidays, definitely the 4th of July. My birthday is the 5th, so oh. there was always, like, this feel that it was my birthday party, you know? My aunt, my mom, grandmother in the kitchen making sides. My mom will be on the grill. They'll, like, rotate on the grill. My mom, aunt, grandmother, my Uncle Nate will be on the grill. I was about 19 when I had my first barbecue and invited family over.
Mm.
I had a gas grill because I hadn't downpacked lighting a charcoal grill yet.
Mm-hmm.
Had them over and they loved it. Like they couldn't even tell it wasn't made from a charcoal grill.
What do you prefer now?
I still, man, you can give me a Weber grill
mm-hmm.
with some charcoal
mm-hmm.
and I'll throw down on it. Yeah. Yeah. You'll see on the current show I'm on, there is a lot of like competing to work on the Santa Maria grill.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always just like, I don't know why they want to work on that grill.
Can you tell us the name of that show?
Barbecue Brawl.
Okay, Barbecue Brawl.
Yeah, Barbecue Brawl on the Food Network.
You know, so there's like this big green eggy
yeah.
grill.
Yeah.
And so my co-host and I were seeing that there's a debate between a Kamado grill and a green egg grill. And so now you just told me yet another one. Is there one that you prefer out of all of these trendy grills?
I'm real simple. I've never even cooked on a green egg.
Oh.
We're about to sponsor a green egg fest in like a couple weeks in Michigan. Mm-hmm. I've never cooked on a green egg. I know people that like play with these other grills, they live by them.
Yeah.
And I'm just the type of chef where, you know, Weber grill ain't broke.
Yeah. Like, don't fix it.
Don't fix it. But also, like, Santa Maria, for example, it is a charcoal and a wood grill that you kind of, you're given the ability to, like, bring it up and down for, you know, however hot or cool you want the, you know, temperature to be. Mm-hmm. Higher if you don't want it to cook as fast, and lower if you want it to cook fast.
This grill can do wood and charcoal. Mm-hmm. Do you prefer one over the other? And what, like, what effects do they have?
I like to use both. Mm-hmm. I grew up using charcoal. At the restaurant, we use wood only. And so if I'm just using wood, then to me, that's smoking to me.
Oh.
And if I'm using charcoal, that's barbecuing.
Okay.
In my mind.
Makes sense.
You know, and so, and a lot of times I will combine the two.
Mm-hmm. Is there a wood you prefer?
I like apple wood. I like mesquite. Mm-hmm. I like hickory. But my favorite would probably be apple.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's probably underrated. You don't hear a lot of people say, or people will use.
I hear the bacon.
Bacon wood?
Or apple wood. Apple wood smoked bacon.
Yeah, that's kind of like, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Bacon wood.
That, somebody needs to make some bacon wood.
Make some
wood.
Bacon wood, please. Bacon wood, please.
Applewood, I like it because, well, first of all, I feel like it works well for Chicago style barbecue because.
After that, I'll need you to explain what that is.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of people don't get it. Okay, yeah. Continue.
I feel like it works well with particularly Chicago style barbecue because what do we like, or what are we accustomed to eating on our barbecue on the South Side, particularly? Mild sauce.
Right.
So we're looking for that tanginess, that sweetness, and you get that sweetness from applewood.
Mm-hmm. What is Chicago style barbecue?
So Chicago style barbecue, and I have taken on the responsibility of defining it because there has always been confusion.
Yeah.
There's always been confusion about what it looks like. And so this is what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In the 1950s, there was a great migration from the South mm-hmm. to Chicago. And all of those Southern influences came to Chicago with the folks that came here.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought all of the influences of food, barbecue particularly, to Chicago. So you can go to different restaurants and they do Memphis-style barbecue, Texas-style barbecue. And to me, Chicago is a plethora of styles put into one. Lexington Betty Smokehouse, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say it's Memphis meets North Carolina style barbecue.
Okay.
We serve pork butt, which you don't see often served in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
unless it is a barbecue restaurant that is representing a specific region like North Carolina style. Mm-hmm. We like to represent rib tips here. We like ribs, mm-hmm. but like rib tips are our culture here
right.
in Chicago. And typically we just see them chopped up and on like a bed of fries and like
piece of white bread.
Piece of white bread, sauce. That's what we like.
Yeah.
And some people outside of Chicago are like, that's not barbecue.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. There's really this like misconception that we don't belong in the conversation, and that is the furthest thing from true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A tip and link combo has to be in the barbecue conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I wonder if the sausages are also the Chicago influence.
Sausage are quintessential mm-hmm. to a Chicago-style barbecue.
Yeah.
My rib tip and sausage combo was named arguably one of the best in the city.
Yes.
And we take it serious, you mm-hmm. know?
I want to get into like the ways to do a good at home barbecue, because I feel like it's so hard to replicate that like restaurant barbecue taste at home.
Mm-hmm.
So what's like, what are the steps to make that happen at home?
Well, I remember growing up, I used to think like my family had like the best barbecue. And now I just feel like some of our family pit masters are overcooking the meat. So I think the key to having a restaurant quality product mm-hmm. is to cooking the meat to perfection. Mm. It turns out it's easy because there's this thing called a thermometer. Mm-hmm. Where you can just babysit the temperature, okay. the internal temperature of the meat mm-hmm. and pull it at the appropriate time mm-hmm. and let it rest. And it's going to be a lot better than a lot of that overcooked stuff we're eating at barbecues.
Yeah, because you like, you know, you're at home. You're like, is it done? I don't want to make grandma sick, you know.
Let me tell you, Google and a thermometer.
And a meat thermometer. And Absolutely. Some will tell you, you put in the meat and it'll be like, yep. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good step, a meat yes. thermometer. What is the best way to prepare your meats for grilling? So I'm thinking ribs, maybe chicken. Like,
that's a loaded question because barbecue is like it's a cuisine, mm-hmm. but it's a cuisine that is practiced all over the world.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of preference.
I have a specific one.
Well, how do you like to prepare your what cut of meat are we talking about?
Okay, so one of our co-hosts asked, she was like, "Do I pull that membrane off the ribs?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I will ask Chef Dominique."
Yeah, you know, some people are going to, like, try to give me heat over this because I didn't grow up pulling the membrane from the meat. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was a thing. Mm-hmm. And I got to be honest, I've worked at places where I didn't see them pull it off either. Okay. It is something we do now. Just like so much silver meat on proteins, it is insoluble fiber and your body cannot digest it. Mm. So it makes sense to just pull it off. It okay. doesn't need to be there. Texturally, it'll be better without it.
Wow. You heard it here first. I don't think you'll get heat for that. That was a very diplomatic answer. Yeah. Like, what are your maybe like top three tips for just rib tips. Yeah, what are your top three rib tips for ribs and making them at home? Hmm.
So the seasoning, mm-hmm. Arguably the most important thing. I mean, it is what most contributes to the flavor profile outside of the wood or the charcoal. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to not over season them, but season them well. Mm-hmm. The second one would be pulling them at the appropriate temperature, mm. pulling them from the grill at the right time. And the third one would be the resting of the meat. So, yeah, so it's important to rest your meat. Mm-hmm. And what that means is just give it some time to just, after it hits the temperature, mm-hmm. just let it sit there. And what's happening is all of the juice is like macerating the meat. And making for a nice, well-rounded bite once you do cut into it. Hmm. Now, when you don't rest your meat, you cut right into it, you see all of that juiciness right. extract from the meat. Mm-hmm. And that's not what you want because that makes for a dry rib.
Wow.
So that's really important. And I think in a lot of cultures, we're just omitting that part of it. But it's important.
I'm like, I think so many people are so ready to eat at family barbecues yeah. that they cut right into everything immediately.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming. This was such a great conversation.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed the conversation as well.
Yeah, you are like, you get the best answers. And and I think people are going to be excited to, one, try a restaurant. Go get those dogs from Mariano's. Mm-hmm. And then trying to like level up their own game at home.
For sure.
The meat thermometer was a big one.
Yeah. I keep two with me at all times.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was so great. Yes. What a great interview, Taylor.
Thank you. Mm.
So, okay. I do want to know I'm this hungry. Though. Me too. Like legit. What's the first recipe you're going to try now?
I think I might attempt a rib by myself, like okay. A slab of ribs by myself.
Okay.
Same. I'm going to try, you know, a rib, and I'm not waiting for a holiday.
Oh,
okay. I'm going to get in there in the middle of the week.
a Monday, Tuesday. What about you?
You know, I think I'm going to play around with like a veggie burger. I'm going to just like try to switch up the flavor of just a plain old veggie burger.
There we go.
Yep.
I like that.
A Beyond Jennifer burger.
Beyond Basin Burger.
Impossible Jennifer.
Right. Because I was like, are you just going to get a Beyond Meat patty or are you going to like actually just from scratch?
Well, I'll probably just use a patty and add a little salt and pepper.
Or a Chef Dominique Leach sauce.
Yeah, it'll be wet.
Okay, now, y'all, I'll catch you at the When Magic Happens barbecue. How cute.
And that's a wrap for our episode about barbecue. If you liked what you heard, subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. And follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast.
Don't miss out on the latest and greatest from your When Magic Happens family. Subscribe to our newsletter, the perfect companion to this podcast, at wbez.org/newsletters.
And special thanks to our guest, Chef Dominique Leach. You can find her on Instagram at Chef Dominique Leach and at lexingtonbetty.com. You can find me, Taylor Coward, on Instagram at Taylor Coward Online.
And you can find me, Cheryl Jackson, on socials at Cheryl Jackson, that's Cheryl with an E.
And you can find me, Jennifer Shea Love Long, on Instagram at Being Shea Love.
And we want to hear from you, our magical listeners. Our email address is magic@wbez.org. Send us anything. We want to hear from you.
When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago and a part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Elizabeth Cambridge is our associate producer. Brennan Banaszak is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is chief content officer. Production assistance by Justin Bull. Engineering by Ethan Schwab. See y'all next week.